You might know that Record With Friends is one of my favorite Anchor features. And the reason is, I get to meet with friends all over the world, right here. And one of my favorite things to do is have coffee with my good friend Paul Omani, who lives over 3,000 miles away in Cork, Ireland. Here's another great session we had just yesterday, and I want to share it with you right now.
Sir Paul, my coffee's getting cold, brother. Where are you?
Look, I'm here. I'm in a hotel, and let me just see if I can order myself a cup of coffee.
Oh, my goodness. You're in a hotel. Where are you?
I'm in a hotel called Clayton Silver Springs Hotel in Cork.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
I had a very intense period of doing family work this morning. And here's the lady. Just one second. Could I please have an Americano? Thank you very much. Right. I will actually have the coffee. Has your coffee got cold, Avi?
Oh, no. I just poured it. I was just timely. I just brewed it. Nice, fresh, hot cup of coffee. And, you know, I usually only have coffee for my dessert when I have dinner out and when I'm having a nice conversation with my friend Paul. So, you know, alongside of my coffee, Paul, I'm drinking my raw organic meal breakfast that I always make. This morning I have a banana in there and a nice Fuji apple, and I whip it right up in my NutriBullet. I'll tell you what, it's the most fascinating breakfast I could ever imagine. It's terrific.
Have you been eating breakfasts, if you like that, for years, Avi?
Well, for the past couple of years, yes. Prior to that, I would have probably some oatmeal and berries. But I got to tell you, Paul, I don't know if you know this about me. You probably don't. 20 some years ago, I weighed over 50 pounds more than I do today. And I had a waistline that was 8 inches larger than it is today. And I was quite a big boy for my size, because I'm relatively small for my height. So from that perspective, it was very unhealthy for me, because my family history is not one that is prone to be healthy wearing a lot of weight. So you have to be much thinner and maintain a much healthier lifestyle to be able to deal with my genetics. So from that perspective, I had to make a change, or I wasn't going to be around a whole lot longer. So I did that.
Yeah, you've taken my breath away. 8 inches.
Yeah, 8 inches. I had about a 38 waist at one time when I was back in my late 30s. And it wasn't a pretty sight. And I would have difficulty, you know, I'd climb under desks to work on computers, and I'd be huffing and puffing trying to move that gut around. So it was very uncomfortable. But, you know, we get into these habits that take us in directions we probably don't want to go. And we start eating a certain way. And it's just that we call it the slight edge. Did you ever read that book, Paul, The Slight Edge?
Yeah, I don't know that phrase.
The slight edge is like this. It only takes just a little bit of change on a consistent basis to make a huge difference. So that could either be a positive change or a negative one. In my case, it was a negative one back then, because all you need to do is, for example, I try to break it down for people. You need about 3,600 calories to gain a pound, right? But most people don't eat all 3,600 calories at one sitting. Some do. But normally what they do is they eat 100 calories more than they need to every day. So essentially over the course of about a month or so, they've gained a pound. And over the course of a year or so, they've gained 12 pounds. And over the course of 10 years, look how much weight you can put on if you consistently treat yourself in that manner. The same goes for losing weight. All you need to do is drop 100 calories.
Hopefully this will work.
Well, I certainly can hear you, my friend. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you absolutely.
Oh, that's much better. I think it had to do with your internet connection in the hotel, perhaps.
That's a good point. It might be. The internet connection in this hotel is one of the best in Cork, but who knows?
Well, we'll see what happens. We're iOS to iOS. I'm using the iPhone 6S on Wi-Fi only today, so it's working like an iPod Touch. And I've switched my phone over to my new iPhone 10 as of yesterday evening, and it's quite a marvel of hardware, I'll tell you.
Well, would you like to talk? I have one thing. Before we talk about anything else, I have one question I'd like to ask you.
Yes.
This is the question. Do you see any connection between the revised food regime and the clarity and strength of your voice?
Well, certainly my energy, perhaps, not necessarily my voice, but, you know, I do believe that we are what we eat, and that philosophy rings true to me, and I see it in a number of people that eat well as eat poorly. So there's likely a good connection between that, my friend.
Well, you sound in tip-top health. You sound in tip-top voice. And tell me about this iPhone 10, because I went yesterday walking around Cork City, talking to three or four providers in order to make a decision about where I go next.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you, I have a new AT&T provider. I've been with AT&T in the States for years. Does AT&T provide service in Ireland?
No,
okay.
It doesn't.
Right. They would through probably a relationship if an AT&T carrier from the States came to Ireland, but the challenge is to get it as a as an initial offering. But that's neither here nor there. The store that just opened nearby is brand new. I walked in and I said, "What's the availability on the iPhone 10?" And they said, "You have them." I said, "You have them." You know, it's been a 2 to 3 week wait at the minimum recently. So I guess stock is becoming more plentiful, but they had exactly the model I wanted, and I went for it. But look, I did a review with the 10 with my brother, who got it right away the day it was released. And at my initial impression of the phone was not that great. I didn't really appreciate the value for the cost. I thought it was way too overpriced for what they were offering compared to the competition. That was my initial understanding. But
yeah, I've heard you say that, and that's I was particularly interested.
I've been known to change my mind over time. And this is what I looked at. I said, look, I'm in the technology business. I need to be using state-of-the-art equipment because my clients are. And for me to take a step backward for a year probably wasn't the best move. Now, what I did do, which I recommend to my clients at this point, is AT&T offers something called a plan where every 12 months you can rotate out of what you have and get into the latest. If you want to, you don't have to. You're committed to a 24-month contract. But after 12 months, you can actually upgrade to the next level, whether it's the same price or higher, and all you pay is the difference. And you don't have to ever go out of pocket for the initial cost of the hardware. Now, this particular model is $1,199 list price, okay? So what you wind up doing is paying half. It's kind of like leasing a vehicle. And for me, it's a business expense, so I write it off. So ultimately, it was what I consider just a cost of doing business. So I wanted to have the state of the art. I didn't really want to carry around a bigger phone. I already have the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus, which is the larger model of the standard phone. And I said, well, you know, I still like the size of my 6S. And because the 10 is state of the art technology, offers up a footprint that's similar, but yet gives you screen real estate similar to what the larger iPhone 8 Plus offers, I figured I'd go for it. So I didn't want to, you know, go. I was thinking all along that the 8 was a better value, but to me, at this point, for me specifically, it's not. Others might have another need, and from that perspective, I'd still recommend the 8 because it's the same chipset. It's basically everything except for the 3D camera on the front. So,
I really do appreciate your point about in your business, it is a real advantage to be using the latest technology, and it is a disadvantage to be using technology which is not the latest.
Exactly. And I also value my time. So I wanted something that was fast. I needed the A10 chip because, you know, look, time is money in my opinion. So for you to lose time screwing around with older technology, having to reboot, having to do things that compromise your efficiency is not cost effective in the long run. Even if it costs you more out of pocket money, the long range goal is time is more valuable to me than money is. So from that vantage point, it's easier to make a decision for me. Now, others might be in a different situation, and therefore you have to value what your priorities are. And I don't give a carte blanche answer to everyone. We always look at each individual circumstance and say, okay, let's look at the pros and cons of doing whatever decision you make, and whatever works best for you is the best decision. So for you, Paul, you may not need an iPhone 10. You may find that there's value in getting an iPhone 7 or 8 at this point in time, or not getting an iPhone at all, maybe looking at an Android platform. You know, there are some great solutions in the Android world, and I don't want to discount those. But for me, I need to use both. Just like I said, I have to support the iOS platform as well as the Android platform. So I have one of each. And that, from that perspective, the problem with hardware, Paul, is it's obsolete the minute you buy it. The problem in any technology. Whatever you're going to buy is going to be gone. That's why it's a good idea to lease equipment, because you can turn it in and not have to pay full value, because it depreciates just as quickly as you own it.
Well, think about the amount that your motor car depreciates the day after you bought it.
Oh, yeah.
But Avi, let me return to one thing you've just said, which really, really impresses me. And I think many people I've met in my life haven't paid attention to it. It is, how much do you value your time? And I don't mean to ask that question or to put that rhetorically as a, you know, big general thing. I mean, literally, what is your hourly rate for your own time? And if you, anybody, people can have different answers for this. In other words, somebody who can't think of what to do with their time is sitting around wondering, oh my goodness, I'm sitting here watching TV all day. I could be doing something else, can't do it. They may value their time at about $1 an hour, or even less for that matter. But somebody who is involved in a lot of things, and I'm deliberately avoiding money when I say this, involved in a lot of things, has to carefully choose what to prioritize in their life, and has thereby to reject a whole number of attractive things. They, if they think about it, actually have a high monetary value on their time, and they might well be talking about as much as over $100 an hour for their time. I certainly at various times in my life, charged myself out at a daily rate of about 2,000 euros per day. Now, if you break that down into minutes, it means that if I waste, 15 minutes trying to sort out a technology problem during the day, that has cost me a significant amount of money.
Yeah, without question.
We call this opportunity cost in economics, right? Opportunity cost. So from that perspective, yes. And people don't value their time. And you know what, Paul? As we get older, our time becomes more valuable to us, right? It becomes a more scarce resource and, you know, supply and demand, right? When we're younger, we don't value our time as much because we see it as an unlimited resource.
Yeah, it's to be infinite.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't realize that the time that we have is the same time everyone else has in terms of the number of minutes in a day. We don't all have the same bank account of time to draw on because many of us just aren't given the gift of a lot of time in our lifetime. And those that have more time, it's precious, and it's the only thing we have. You know, we always. I love the analogy. We have 2,080 minutes a day, or whatever, of a bank account. And if someone gave you that amount of money every day, an unlimited amount, or this huge amount of money every day, and told you that you had to spend it because it was going to go away, right?
Yes.
The next day, and you would get it. You would get more the next day, but if you didn't spend it, it was gone. If you look at your time as dollars, what are you squandering when those dollars are flying past you? You know, if you're wasting your time, not applying it efficiently and effectively, but then of course. If we took that to extremes, Paul, I often imagine relating that to people that are driving on the highway. and you wonder, where's everybody rushing to? Where are they running? Where are they going? Are they really valuing their existence when all they're worried about is getting to the next place and trying to take advantage of time and rushing and speeding and doing things? So there's a happy balance, I guess, a happy medium of what you do, but I certainly... You know, are we reconnected, sir?
We certainly are reconnected.
All right, great. I'm trying you back with my iPhone 10 now because we've had two or more failures on the iPhone 6S on the Wi-Fi. So I figured I'd try you back here. I hope this recording will be much better.
One of the things, Avi, I've read this morning, actually, is that the volume on the iPhone 8 was significantly better than the volume on the 7, which means that it must be significantly better than the 6. So I imagine that the 10 is better than the, or the X is better than the 6. Would that be true?
Yeah, well, there's stereo speakers on the 10, and on the 6, there's just a mono speaker on the bottom. So you get the stereo effect. You get the stereo effect in the newer phones anyway, so. If you look on the bottom, you'll see the double vents of those phones, and you'll know you have the higher stereo speakers on those. So, yeah, there's a benefit to that.
So we have discussed the value of our time, and we're both, I think, singing off the same hymn book, if you might use that phrase. I don't know, but basically, you know, under the same flag in relation to that. What I'm really struck by, though, Avi, is over the period of time that I've known you, it all began for me with saying to myself, my goodness, this man is giving advice in an incredibly useful way, succinctly, and I could tune into him every single day, and I would get nuggets every day, and you know, he's talking with the amount of detail I want, which is not too much and not too little, and he's varying the topics from day to day within the general ambit of, you know, how to get most out of your digital life. And then I discovered that there was more to you than simply dispensing technical advice, that you actually did have a whole set of what I will call values for how to get through life in a way that was in accord with the kind of values that I have. And I thought, my goodness. And then I discovered that in addition to your tech and your values, there's a whole load of other stuff, like about your music, and now I discover we deviate in terms of our waist size, and I imagine you take exercise and I don't, which, and I'm not proud of that. But I'm just really, really pleased that as time goes on, I say to myself, is Avi and I, we really click. We could easily have coffee face to face.
That's cool. You know, yeah, I think you have to slowly peel back the onion when you're exposing yourself in a public forum. And people get to know you. They get to know different phases and parts of you. They are not necessarily attracted to all the parts, but sometimes people can grasp on to an area that they relate to. So it's important for others to take this as a possible example where you may not be talking about all of the different areas that you have interest in, but it's good to do. And I didn't realize that you were observing that particular part of me. And it's helpful to know that, Paul, because I certainly appreciate it. And it makes it more interesting. You look at the different results of different exposures and you see what people like and don't like, not only also on Facebook and Instagram, the type of pictures that you expose, the types of, comments and subjects that you broach. And it's interesting what people like, you know, and it's also interesting what people, many, many people listen to you in all different forums, but they don't all show you that they're listening until they hear something that strikes their fancy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, yes. And definitely. And the other thing is and I say this about as a generalization about people in general, we reveal very little to each other of what we think and feel and imagine when we're in touch with another person. We barely reveal the tiniest amount. Like, if you and I are talking about something, there are a whole load of things that are going on within me. It could be, oh, how lovely it is to talk to Avi. Oh, for example, I wish he'd speak in shorter sentences. A whole range of things, you know. Or I wish I could get him off that topic onto that topic. And look, oh, he's happy on that topic. Let him off. Don't be trying to change him into something like this. But all of these voices are in some way going on consciously explicitly or implicitly within me. And I'm assuming everyone else is the same as that.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And it's important for people to express that, because it's not always a bad thing to, when you're listening and hearing those things in your head, to let people know, because many people suppress that. I often have an open filter. so if something's bugging me, I let people know right away. They don't always appreciate it, but at least I'm honest with them. You know what I mean? So if I ever go long winded, which I'm obviously doing, Paul, you got to say, Avi, will you please shut up? I want to get a word in edgewise. I'm here in England, sitting in a hotel, drinking my coffee. It's getting cold and I can't even get a word in edgewise. I understand that. You'll never offend me, Paul. I have a very thick skin.
Well, there's another thing we have in common, Avi. You will never offend me. My overall approach is that, yes, I can take offense, but I own that offense. Nobody offends me, and nobody causes me to be angry. Nobody causes me to be disappointed. I own all of those feelings.
That's an extremely important thing that people need to recognize, too, because many, many people put way too much value on another person's opinion of them. And they hold back as a result of that, right?
Avi, hang on. Do you know the poem by Kipling called If?
Oh, yes. Terrific. It's terrific.
That is the closest thing to my perspective on life in verse that I know. In fact, it's the closest thing in words that I know. And every part of that poem, every single part, not just if you can hold your head when all about you are losing theirs, but there are, which is relatively maybe the best known part, but the whole of that poem is like my mantra or my manifesto. And whenever I hear people saying, you know, oh, they made me angry, or they made me cross, or they made me this, or they made me that, I think, oh, would they not? There is another way. All I can think of is, there is another way. I have a different way. But Kipling said it all in that poem. I feel like reading it.
Let me read it for you, Paul. I have it right here in front of me.
Please do. Please.
Do you mind?
I would love.
Here we go. Rudyard Kipling, he lived between the years of 1865 and 1936, a man very wise beyond his years. And this is a poem that Paul loves, and I do as well. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will, which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. That is phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, I think in one sense, for you know, people sometimes say poetry is not useful. Poetry changes nothing. Now, this is just one school of thought. I'm not saying it's mine, but that poem is for me the most useful poem I can think of that has ever been written, because that poem is a set of ideas for somebody to consider, to take into account, and it is potentially a way of life. And I've had an idea while you've been reading it, Avi. First of all, I want to thank you for reading it. You know, it really means a lot to me. And, you know, when this is shared with others, I shall grab it, because I shall listen to you reading it all through 2018, I guarantee you. But secondly, I got the idea while you were reading it that I'm going to do a series, I called it in the old days, a series of segments in which I take, you know, maybe two lines, take couplets out of the poem and just do a little free-wheeling thought expressions based upon what it means to me.
And just absolutely. I think that would be awesome, because there's so much meat in that one page. It's one page of absolute meat. I think word for word, it's got you know, a lot of value in it, as you said, beyond many, many other poems that ever have been written. You're right. Yeah.
Avi, what time is it? With you, I have a reason I need to.
With me, it is 9:08. So altogether, we've been on the phone with all the different calls combined about 38 minutes.
Well, at 9:15, I have to make a call to an is it an electrician or a plumber? To a plumber. So I have, five more minutes top whack.
Well, since I've been doing so much talking, Paul, I want to give you the floor for the remainder of this call. And I want you to talk about anything you want. If you want to recap what we've talked about, if you want to explore another topic real, efficiently, we'll certainly do that. And, this is becoming very, very interesting, this call. I really enjoy it, but I'm certainly monopolizing. So the next call is going to be all yours, and I'll just do commentary on it.
Avi, just to tell you, if the way you had been speaking at all had really bothered me at all, I would have brought it up. I already know that you're such a, God, this is the phrase that comes to me, well-developed man, that I can easily say things to you.
Good. I appreciate that, because that's the understanding I always want to have, not only with you, but anyone that I have conversation with. That should be a permission-based offering that people give right up front. I think people would have a better appreciation and understanding of their relationship that way, because, it's the communication that's important.
I have something in mind, Avi. So rather than think about what would I like to talk about in the last few minutes, I'll tell you about something that's really weighing heavy on my mind today. It's this. When you get to know somebody on an app or on the internet and you have engagement, and there's so much engagement here on Anchor, you build up a relationship, a much deeper rapport than you would on any other, I'll call them platforms. Now, but it doesn't only happen on here. It can happen on Periscope. It can happen on Twitter. I'm sure it can happen on Facebook. But just taking this, you build up a relationship over a period of time. You have frequent contact with the person. And then, and who knows what's going on. But for me, what's going on is the formation, the gradual formation of a real relationship. Not a second quality relationship, a real one that has loads of potential in it, which might lead to meeting face-to-face someday. And I do believe that the quality of face-to-face communications can sometimes be shallow in comparison with the quality of communications, for example, on Anchor. I have had the same as what I imagine other people have had. Lots and lots of frustrating and unrewarding face-to-face conversations. That's without damning them, but just they've been mediocre, let's say. And that's life, and it doesn't bother me very much at all. But I do, recently had the experience of somebody who I've been building up a relationship with disappearing. Just literally saying, I'm off. And I am actually in a day of grieving, to be truthful. That seems about the best word. Because for me, it's a bit like saying, because I'm in a relationship, if it was face-to-face and I was in a close relationship with somebody and I came home one day and discovered that the apartment was empty and that they were gone and I didn't know where they'd gone and I didn't. So I feel a little bit like that today, Avi.
Well, believe me, I can appreciate that. That just happened to me in real life, my friend. I had a relationship with my, I call her my significant other. She was more than that, 21 years, Paul. And that happened to me in real life. So you can imagine what I feel through that experience. But you know what? I chalked it up to the fact that relationships are transient. No matter how long they last, they're transient. We're only on this earth for a brief period of time. So we have to value what we got and experienced in the relationship during the time we experienced it, and then allow it to pass, because nothing lasts forever. The term of, is it better to, who said this, Paul? is it better to have loved and lost or never to love at all? You know, that's essentially what it's all about, right?
You know, Avi, that's very helpful for you to say that to me today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, we're finishing our conversation, aren't we? So thank you very much for telling me that, and thank you very much for making it terribly relevant to what I'm having now. It's very important. The best passing of a relationship that I probably ever had was the passing away of my mother in not much more than a year ago. She died a year ago, and because of the kind of relationship I had with her, and all of our children had with her, we really celebrated her life when she passed, and it didn't feel like a tragedy.
Exactly. And that's the way you need to look at any transient relationship, one that disappears unexplained or one that is understood. It's a experience. It's a gift that we've gotten from the universe, and we value it that way, and you'll always feel better about that. That's the way I feel. And it's helped me through this transition quite easily. So I wish you the same.
Yeah, and Avi, I give you a big hug for that.
Thank you, my friend. And
thank you.
We will meet again.
We will talk again soon. I love conversations with Avi.
Fantastic. Look forward to it, Paul. Have a great day, and we'll talk soon. Stay well. Bye-bye.